Hello, this is Dave with the News Gazette, dated Sunday, August 30th, 2020. We'll begin today's reading on the front page with the Restore Illinois Phase 4, Day 66. Quick summary, recap is the 7-day positivity rates remain unchanged in Champaign County at 0.6% and for Illinois at 4%. And the next article is titled, Sunday Special, Class of 2021 Back in School. When spring break started 5 months ago, area students had no idea that their high school experience was about to change, possibly for good. Whether at home learning through a computer screen or masked up at school, encouraged to maintain social distancing and interact as little as possible, the class of 2021 is coming to terms with the fact that they won't be getting the prototypical senior years of high school they've always imagined. Today, we tell six of their stories. The one-on-one learner, Jeremiah Hamilton, Urbana. Jeremiah Hamilton is a naturally inquisitive student. During his first 3 years at Urbana High School, he learned to thrive by asking lots of questions and welcoming one-on-one help. Over Zoom, that isn't so easy. I don't really get the help I need, Hamilton said. Me, personally, I like one-on-one help rather than online help. That was my bread and butter right there. I like communicating. Students at Urbana High have synchronous online classes from 10:30 a.m. to 1 p.m., which is designed to consist of about half of their work for the day. In pre-coronavirus days, Hamilton's vision of his senior year was a smooth one. He'd be coming off of a successful track season that bested his sophomore year when he finished third in the 200 meters in Class 2A. He'd worked his way toward his goal of getting straight A's by asking questions to make sure he fully understood the content of his classes, and he'd be well on his way toward deciding on a college. The pandemic has complicated things, to say the least. Most of his junior track season was canceled, and while college coaches are interested based on his sophomore year, there's one snag. All of these colleges are coming up, he said, but they all ask the same thing. Do you have your SAT scores? The SAT was canceled in the spring, meaning Hamilton will have to wait until October to take it. At-home schooling has also brought another responsibility. As the oldest of four kids, aged 10 to 16, with two parents who have to work away from home, he's the de facto leader of the house during the day. Honestly, I'm just trying to keep them in line and make sure they don't burn the house down or anything like that, he said. Before COVID, it's just me as the oldest person in the house, just keeping them in line, make sure they don't do anything crazy, and keep them safe and sound. Hamilton isn't one to sit around the house on his phone or play video games, so he spent his extra time at home trying to better himself, he said. Not just physically, but mentally and emotionally, trying to figure out who I am. While gyms were closed, he made sure to do sit-ups and push-ups and other body weight exercises. He makes sure to check in on friends constantly. He's gotten into meditation, and sometimes he just sits and thinks deeply about things. As far as going back to school in person and having a normal senior year, he's trying to keep his expectations in check. I learned over the spring and summer that anything can really happen, he said. We can go back in October, we can go back in January, but honestly, I'm just trying to get through school the best way I can. If we can go back physically, great, as long as we're being safe. Other than that, I'm just trying to get through school, trying to make sure my grades are good and go off to college. Next article is an opinion by Tom Kasich, titled, Davis Walks a Fine Line with Support for Trump. In a rare Saturday session earlier this month, U.S. Representative Rodney Davis was one of only 26 Republicans to join all 231 House Democrats in approving a measure granting $25 billion in additional funding for the U.S. Postal Service. It was one of only 13 times in this Congress, which began in January 2019, that Davis defied the position of President Donald Trump. According to 538.com, Davis has voted with the president 84% of the time in this Congress and 91% during Trump's term. That's the lowest level among the state's five Republican congressmen, all of whom represent downstate Illinois. Representative Adam Kinzinger, whose district includes Ford and Iroquois counties in east central Illinois, has supported Trump on 86% of votes. Retiring Representative John Shimkus, whose district includes Vermilion County and most counties south of Champaign-Urbana, supported Trump on 95% of roll calls in this Congress. The Trump support level is another indication that Davis is walking a fine political line. Given that he won his district by less than a percentage point in 2018, and that Trump won Davis's district in 2016 by less than 5.5 percentage points. A recent poll of Davis's 13th congressional district by Scott Rasmussen found that most voters, 54%, had an unfavorable opinion of Trump, including 48% who said their opinion was very unfavorable. Still, Davis is stuck with Trump even though 4 years ago, the congressman withdrew his support after the infamous 2005 Access Hollywood tape became public. The abhorrent comments made by Donald Trump are inexcusable and go directly against what I've been doing in Washington to combat assaults on college campuses, Davis said in October 2016. With the terrible options America has right now, I cannot cast my vote for any of the candidates, so I hope Donald Trump withdraws from the race so the American people can elect Mike Pence as our next president. This time, however, Davis is among four Illinois congressmen, Kinzinger was excluded, who are co-chairing the Trump campaign here. In voting with Democrats on August 22nd, Davis said he was disappointed that the Postal Service recently became a political weapon, and he said the $25 billion infusion, which faces little chance of approval in the Senate, is not going to solve our election administration problems. Election administration issues don't lie with the Postal Service, Davis said, but with states. Despite early warnings from the Postal Service, at least 18 states still have ballot request and return policies that are incompatible with their delivery standards, which significantly increases the risk of disenfranchising voters, he said. Davis has endorsed Illinois' vote-by-mail effort. Our vote-by-mail program, which is very successful, mails applications out to every registered voter, he told the Ripon Society, a Republican group, last week. You can turn that application in, and once they verify it's you, you get a live ballot sent to your house. Democrats in Congress, on the other hand, have been pushing a national vote-by-mail initiative that would just mail live ballots to every registered voter without any verification. 104th House Race. In Illinois, 104th House District, Republican Representative Mike Maron of rural Fithian has a rematch with Democrat Cindy Cunningham, whom he beat 2 years ago, 56% to 44%. Cunningham isn't going quietly in the district that includes most of Vermilion County and the northern half of Champaign County. She has raised more than $22,000 since July 1, adding to the $20,140 she had on June 30th. Most of her contributions came from individual supporters, although she also got money from labor unions. But Marin, who had more than $94,000 in his campaign fund on June 30th, has added nearly $20,000 in the last 2 months, including $15,000 from the political action fund of another union, the Illinois Education Association. Tom Kasich's column appears in Sundays in the News Gazette. He can be reached at kasich@newsgazette.com. And continuing on the front page is continuing a conversation we've hosted since June. The News Gazette asked African American community members to share their stories and solutions in the wake of George Floyd's killing. Featured today, Lamont Holden, an instructor of music production at the University of Illinois. "I'm afraid to die. I think about it every day," is the title of the article. "I am having trouble existing in the world. I am traumatized and exhausted. I'm glad I had to teach this week because it gave me an escape. It's hard to be black every day. It's hard. I'm tired. I have to admit that my life has prepared me for the everyday run-of-the-mill oppression that I'm tasked to fight and work in advocacy against on behalf of others. But this is different. I'm afraid to die. I think about it every day. I consider my own mortality daily. I'm too young for that. I don't have a terminal illness. It's a paranoia and a fear and weight that is inescapable and very real. I know my black peers feel that way. I wonder how that affects their jobs and their lives and raising their children amid a pandemic. What I'm talking about is a virtual free fire zone that surrounds black people trying to just live every day. I have to guard my heart against hate. I have to try to be the same person with the same morals and belief in equity. I have to carry a disposition of non-judgment while I have a growing fear of white people I don't know. I have a burgeoning hatred in my heart for police officers. I don't carry something such as hate lightly because, A, that is not the person I desire to be, nor is it the person I was raised to be, and B, to be black and to be hated is to have empathy for what it's like to be hated. I'm a leader of my community. People look to me for insight. What am I supposed to do? By the grace of the Creator, I have so much to live for. Despite the worst thoughts that cross my mind, I'm still in search of constructive solutions. What do I tell the 19-year-old black kid that knows this country has nothing for him and he's ready to do the unthinkable? I just want to be okay, and I want to make sure other people are okay. We still have to try to be our best selves in this climate. I think that's what I'm speaking to. It's PTSD. If you'd like to share your story, email editor Jeff D'Alessio at jdalessio@newsgazette.com. Continuing on with top of the morning, something to get you going today. Ellen Lynn and friends have come a long way since COVID-19 knocked their indoor dancing routine for a loop. Early on, the co-owner of the Regent Ballroom and a few others would assemble near a trash can in the parking lot at the Savoy Recreation Center, play music on their phones, and dumpster dance, she said. "We were just improvising," she said. On Saturday morning, the location was different. The crowd was bigger and the music was louder. For the second consecutive weekend, Ellen and her husband hosted line dancing in the Regent's parking lot. With David Lynn serving as DJ and speakers blaring, a group of about 20 got in a lively 45-minute, 10-song, socially distanced workout across the street from the Windsor of Savoy. Cement doesn't compare to the 5,000-square-foot wooden floor inside the Regent, still. This is a way to be safe, Ellen said. The outdoors line dancing will continue on Saturdays as long as the weather cooperates. Enthusiasm is not a problem. We have a great community of people who know each other and miss each other, Ellen said. Just being in close proximity again is the best part of it. Continuing with the Sunday special back to school articles, the next one's titled The Big Brother by Andrew Ferguson at Fisher. The chatter still rings throughout the hallways of Fisher High School, even though the students are told to walk straight to their next class with their day's materials in their backpacks. But senior Andrew Ferguson has noticed one stark difference in the sounds at school. The main thing that I've noticed is that you don't hear the lockers slamming, he said. It's weird not hearing that. Kids still talk as they walk in the halls, but it's definitely different. Normally, you just kind of tune it out. But now that it's not here, I definitely notice it now. At Fisher, students go to school from 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. every day, aside from Wednesday, which is remote. At lunch, they are split into three different rooms, rather than all in the cafeteria. While Fisher is still in session, it isn't the senior year Ferguson imagined. Senior year is a time for members of a class to grow closer, he always thought, and create new memories. He was also looking forward to finally going to school with his freshman sister, guiding her through the first few weeks of classes and beyond. Now, he rarely sees her at school. He's able to interact with some classmates at lunch, but from a distance. Ferguson's fall evenings were always filled with sports, soccer, and football. And even though both were officially moved to the spring, he still realizes that there's a possibility he'll never play either in high school again. I would have never thought that senior night last year could possibly have been my senior night as well. Ferguson said, that's one thing that hit me hard, is that what was last year's senior's last game could have been my last game as well. Ferguson has taken up new hobbies now that his two fall sports have been postponed to spring. He joined the golf team and started a new business. After he made a dining room table for his mom for Mother's Day, people began to reach out to ask him to make them tables, benches, and chairs. I really enjoy it, he said. It kind of gets my mind off of things. Ferguson has enjoyed living in Fisher and going to a small school because of the camaraderie. In the last 5 months, though, those connections have become harder and harder to form. Looking at some of the past senior classes, just how close some of them had gotten over their senior years, I was hoping that would happen, Ferguson said. That part of it can still happen, but it's not going to be your typical senior year. It's tough to stay positive, but I'm trying my best. The next article in Back to School Sunday Special is titled The Student Council Officer, Ava Cawthron, Tuscola. As a student council officer, Ava Cawthron was instrumental in planning Tuscola's prom as a junior last year, work that ultimately went to waste for a dance that never happened. At that point, she didn't imagine that homecoming and maybe even the next year's prom would be in jeopardy, along with a host of other events she was hoping she'd get to participate in one last time. We're going into this year not knowing if we're going to have anything, because there's so much unknown and we're not sure if we're going to have sports and other extracurriculars, Cawthron said. It's just very odd. At Tuscola, students had the option to go to school every day until 1:50 p.m. with an early release on Wednesdays, or to attend remotely at the same times. Cawthron considered choosing the fully remote option, but she ultimately decided a 5-month layoff from in-person school was long enough. Of course, in-person learning at Tuscola is a far cry from normal times. School is no longer a social hub where students gather at lockers and greet each other as they pass in the hallway. Instead, students carry their books from class to class, walk the same direction in one-way hallways and stairwells, and sit at desks 6 feet away from each other in the lunchroom. The school is normally an uncomfortable place to be in August because it doesn't have air conditioning. Strap a mask on and it becomes even less bearable. It's very hard for me to concentrate when I'm dripping in sweat and have to breathe in my own air, Catherine said. I just can't wait for the day that my teachers and other students can see my face. While most extracurriculars have been canceled or postponed, Catherine is keeping busy. She takes classes in Parkland's Certified Nurse Assistant program, in person on Mondays and Wednesdays and online the other days. She also works at a daycare and at Joe's Pizza. While she may not know what's next, she's trying to stay positive and keep her classmates' heads up. There's a lot of negativity throughout our school because of the circumstances, Catherine said. Everyone I've talked to about the situation, I've said we've just got to go into it with a positive mindset, not knowing what's going to happen next. The next student is Abby Barger from Champaign Central, article titled, The Little Sister. As they look at their computer screens each day, seeing the faces of some classmates and blank squares where others have turned off their computer's camera, it's almost as if students like Champaign Central senior Abby Barger aren't working by themselves all day. You can kind of interact with teachers if they ask questions, Barger said, but most kids turn their mics off, and maybe some have their videos on, but others don't. It's a little different interacting with people. All students at Champaign Central go to school online from 8 a.m. to 1:35 p.m. each day for the entire first quarter. Barger isn't completely alone during the day. The pandemic has given her extra time with her brother Alec, who plays minor league baseball in the Atlanta Braves farm system. Alec is taking online classes at North Carolina State while he's home. I'm so used to him not being home during this time because he's normally playing baseball, she said. It has been nice to have someone to hang out with. 5 months ago, Barger envisioned an idyllic senior year when she'd help lead the fan section at football games, go to prom, interact with her friends at her locker, and head out for off-campus lunch. Even when school was canceled for a few weeks because of the pandemic, she couldn't foresee a senior year that began with looking at her teachers and classmates through a computer screen from home. We got the extra 2 weeks off, and all of us were kind of like, yay, an extra spring break, she said. I never imagined in March that my senior year was going to start. For now, she has to find ways to entertain herself after virtual school, whether that means going for a bike ride, walking her dog, painting, or playing a game of PIG in the backyard with her brother. Of course, Barger hopes she and her classmates get some semblance of a senior year, but she knows it won't be a typical one by any stretch. I believe we will go back to school, she said. But I don't think we'll be able to be packed together in a gym watching basketball games. We might have prom, but we're all inside, so close to each other. It's just something that, as a senior, you hope you still get just to make those lasting memories in high school. The next student is Aaliyah Dinius from Oakwood, and the article is titled, The New Cross-Country Runner. Aaliyah Dinius never thought she'd set foot on a cross-country course. With volleyball postponed until the spring, though, the Oakwood senior decided she needed a sport in her life, so she became a distance runner. Any other time, you would not catch me running cross-country, she said. Students at Oakwood go to school 2 days a week, split up by last name, with everyone attending remotely on Wednesdays. Most of the athletes at Oakwood, Dinius said, are underclassmen. That means the senior rarely sees other athletes throughout the day. Because the nature of one-way hallways and stairwells makes it so, she's rarely around people who aren't in her class. I interact with people, but I feel like I'm seeing the same people all day, she said. I only interact with different people at lunch. Cross country affords her that interaction. She said a majority of her new teammates on the Salt Fork Oakwood Co-op cross country team are athletes who normally play a different sport. It's just seeing other people that makes it enjoyable, honestly, she said. And seeing other people without the mass and getting to put in the work and getting in shape for whatever sport they're doing. This spring, Denius hopes to be back to playing volleyball, which she hopes to play in college next year. And she'll be able to see her friends and classmates in the hallways with smiles on their faces. Sometimes I catch myself smiling at people and they can't even tell I'm smiling, Denius said. I'm just hoping second semester more of us will be together rather than just the half of us. You're just staring at the same people all day. And the next student is Kylie Duckett from St. Joseph Ogden, article titled The Optimist. When Kylie Duckett walked into St. Joseph Ogden High School for the first day of school last week, she realized that instead of walking straight to her classroom at the end of the hall, she had to make sure to follow the directional signs that made it so students didn't cross paths. The route became much longer. I have to walk completely around the school, she said. The first day of school, it definitely became more surreal to me that my senior year wasn't going to be what I thought was going to be. Duckett has decided not to dwell on the negatives. She feels like the school has adjusted well this year, and she's trying to look at the positives in a difficult situation. At the very least, she appreciates school like she never has before. Before all this happened, I didn't mind school, she said, but now this has all happened. I honestly like the days of going to school better because I get my work done and I don't have it all piling on me rather than the days I don't go to school. I still procrastinate a lot because I don't have to go to school that day. At St. Joseph Ogden, students are split into two groups, with one going to school in person on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, and the other going Tuesdays and Thursdays each week. The groups alternate each week. This year is starkly different than the senior year Duckett imagined. Weeks that were supposed to be filled with the things that make high school a memorable experience, like dress-up days on homecoming week and pep assemblies and simple conversations with people she wouldn't normally speak with, will pass by in this new version of normal. I don't know what's going to happen, she said. I feel like our school has adjusted well, but I just have a feeling that it's going to stay the schedule that we're on, or it's going to get worse and we're going to have to go back to fully online. My hope is that we'll get to go to school with everyone, even if we have to wear masks and do the one-way hallways. We'll take a short break now and return with the second half hour of the Sunday, August 30th News Gazette for 2020. Please stay tuned.